This is a recording of a presentation I made on the 11th of January 2015 in Harvest Fields Church. The original recording was destroyed by my computer, so I'm redoing it in my own home at this time. The first question I asked people was, is everybody happy here today? And I stated that not everyone in the developed world is happy. According to a survey, the United States has the lowest percentage of happy people in the world. It's the most unhappy country on the face of the earth, and the UK isn't far behind it. Africa is the happiest part of the world, where 85% of the population is happy. It suggests that the wealthy haves are less happy than the poverty-stricken have-nots. Anyway, let's take a look at Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 11 to 19. Make certain that you do not forget the Lord your God. Do not fail to obey any of his laws that I am giving you today. When you have all that you want to eat, and have built good houses to live in, and when your cattle and sheep, your silver and gold, and all your other possessions have increased, make sure that you do not become proud and forget the Lord your God who rescued you from Egypt, where you were slaves. He led you through that vast and terrifying desert, where there were poisonous snakes and scorpions. In that dry and waterless land, he made water flow out of solid rock for you. In the desert, he gave you manna to eat, food that your ancestors had never eaten. He sent hardships on you to test you, so that in the end he could bless you with good things. So then, you must never think that you have made yourselves wealthy by your own power. Remember that it is the Lord your God who gives you the power to become rich. He does this because he is still faithful today to the covenant that he made with your ancestors. Never forget the Lord your God or turn to other gods to worship and serve them. If you do, then I warn you today that you will certainly be destroyed. Basically, what that is saying is, when you get your breakthrough, don't forget who made it happen. Don't turn away from him, as so many of us so often do. Some of us have to go through before we come to God, but it's so easy to seek God when we have all we want. But having abundance can destroy us. How many know how to use money? Most people get images of themselves on a wild out-of-control spending spree, which they call happiness. Get every material possession without having to worry about how to pay for it. Is that happiness? God will use adversity to move us towards his kingdom. At the time, we don't understand it. We think, this couldn't be God. God has a purpose. He doesn't just say, let me give this person a hard time. He might not have sent the adversity, but he can use it to your advantage. We shouldn't try to figure it out. Just believe that if God allowed it, it's going to take us toward our destiny. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 24 says, the Lord has directed our path, so don't try to figure everything that happens along the way. Are you going to get mad at God when things are not working out? You'll find that you're going in the wrong direction. Your back is facing your target. You know you're supposed to be going this way, but you're going the opposite way. Do we keep a good attitude when things are not going well? Do we stay in faith when someone else gets what we were hoping for? If you know you're up for promotion at work, but someone else tells lies about you, then that person gets the promotion instead. How do you deal with that? This happened to me many years ago, and I didn't handle it at all well. I threw tantrums, threatened to leave the company. Basically, I behaved badly, like a spoilt brat. God knows what he's doing. He wouldn't have allowed that if it was going to keep you from your destiny. If we will keep moving forward, we'll see what God's plan was. God's ways are not our ways. He might not take you from A to B, but rather A to S, then to W, then back to C. Sometimes we seem to be going backwards. God said higher, but we go lower. Sometimes we have to come down into the valley, not to stay, but to eventually go up to a higher level than before. God has something better planned for us. We haven't seen any part of the plan yet, so we can get discouraged, believing we are going backwards. If we will stay in faith, we'll look back and say it was good. Billy Graham told the story of his first love, how he and his girlfriend were madly in love with each other. But one day, God told him to go round to her house and break off the relationship. When he did that, they both cried and were heartbroken, but he was obeying God. It was because God had something else waiting for him in China, a girl called Ruth, whom he married. So you see, God's plan for us is good, it's for victory. God knows where you will be years from now, so he's lining things up today so that you will fulfil your destiny. If Joseph's brothers hadn't rejected him, he would never have made it to the throne. So don't get too upset over people who disrespect you. Without them, you couldn't make it to your throne. Remember, God would never have allowed the adversity if you couldn't handle it. Even when the doors are closed, God is still directing our way. Will we keep a good attitude despite this? You're a child of God. You can do this. Decide that you are not going to allow a closed door to bother you. God placed you here. Decide that adversity is not going to work against you, but for you. All the dark forces cannot stop what God has ordained for your life. So don't be discouraged. Your time is coming. There is always the other side. Just continue to do the right thing when the wrong thing is happening, because God is developing you. Jeremiah 9:23-24. The Lord says, the wise should not boast of their wisdom, nor the strong of their strength, nor the rich of their wealth. If anyone wants to boast, he should boast that he knows and understands me, because my love is constant, and I do what is just and right. These are the things that please me. I, the Lord, have spoken. God expects us to behave well when we have what we want. People who have made it claim self-glory, claim they are the reason for their success. What is success? I say it's being good at what you do. How important is the toilet cleaner, hotel chambermaid, or dustman in comparison to the lawyer, surgeon, optician, banker, or footballer? How many of us tell the toilet cleaner and dustman how valuable they are? Why do we continue to be there for people who don't deserve us? Why do we keep being there for people who abuse our hospitality? Drug addicts, alcoholics, people in our own families who only show us love when they want a favour. Why are we always there for them when we know they wouldn't do similarly for us were the circumstances reversed? It's because of love, the love that God planted in us. Do you know you can love someone but still dislike them? Quite often people will dislike their own children but still love them. I don't have any kids, but I'm convinced that if I had some, I wouldn't like them, especially if they were teenagers. Someone abused my kindness and I said I would never help that person again. But when that person came round crying and sobbing with a much bigger request than the previous ones, I agreed to it. Why do we continue to be there for those who come to Teen Challenge on Friday night, knowing that in most cases no progress will be made? In others, some progress will be followed by a step back to the pit they just came out of. Why do we do it? It's explained in Matthew 25. Matthew 25, verses 35 to 46. I was hungry, and you fed me, thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you received me in your homes, naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you took care of me, in prison, and you visited me. The righteous will then answer him, when, Lord, did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we ever see you a stranger and welcome you in our homes, or naked, and clothe you? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? The king will reply, I tell you, whenever you did this for one of the least important of these members of my family, you did it for me. Then he will say to those on his left, away from me, you that are under God's curse, away to the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. I was hungry, but you would not feed me, thirsty, but you would not give me a drink. I was a stranger, but you would not welcome me in your homes, naked, but you would not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, but you would not take care of me. Then they will answer him, When, Lord, did we ever see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and would not help you? The king will reply, I tell you, whenever you refused to help one of these least important ones, you refused to help me. These then will be sent off to an eternal punishment, but the righteous will go to eternal life. You know, I'm not even sure I am a Christian, based upon some people's definition of Christianity. Some who call themselves Christians admit that there are parts of the Bible they disbelieve. They cherry-pick from it. Others, myself included, will gossip about and be judgmental of other people. I have to keep praying, asking God to help me get out of this area. The events in Paris show us what can be the consequences of judgmentalism. It's called free speech, which is a euphemism for the right to insult and be disrespectful towards those who are not like we are. Right now, Paris is full of signs that proclaim, Je suis Charlie, nous sommes Charlie, Paris est Charlie. It's a defiance, which means we are going to continue what we have been doing. It says, up yours, we are going to continue to offend people and nobody dare to try to stop us. We are defending the right to free speech. Where do their boundaries go? Can they make cartoons and insulting jokes about the severely disabled, the blind, people with learning difficulties? If anyone thinks that they already enjoy the right to free speech, let me tell you that we do not. If you doubt me, just try typing a few certain words on your Facebook page. They will come up on the government's keyword detector and you'll be before a court in no time, answering charges of inciting racial or other hatred. I'm guilty. I'm guilty of spreading emails around that contain cartoons of Muslims. These things take the mickey. Maybe the Irish and blonde people don't like being made to look like idiots. Maybe I'll desist from forwarding these in the future, so any that come my way will stop at my mailbox. And remember, the enemy is not in control of your life. God is. Amen.